Well, this is a five-part series from the third chapter of Colossians called Living the New Life. This is part two. If you remember last week, those of you here remember, because the introduction was rather lengthy, I shared a lot of passages out of chapters one and two. And in the gist of it, Paul was saying that we used to live one way, but we have a new life in Christ. This is all through the grace of God. And this morning, he's going to talk to us about our part. When people tell me, well, salvation's all grace, all God's grace, I agree with that. But when they say, we don't need to change, it's all by God's grace, I don't agree with that at all. And neither did the apostles. The text this morning is out of Colossians 3, verses 5 through 11. I'm using the New Living because I like the way it's worded. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray as we go through this today, Lord, that you will speak to each and every one of our hearts. Show us where we fall short. Show us what we need to work on. And give us the power through the Holy Spirit to accomplish these things. I pray that you will anoint me to speak your word in truth, because it is the truth. Keep me on track, Lord. Help me to speak straight and true. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. As I said, Paul, last week we read, Paul reminded us that we have a new life in Christ, and he said we're to fix our thoughts on heavenly things where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. He said, for in God all his fullness was pleased to dwell. For God in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Now, this is what we correctly call grace. God in his mercy did what was impossible for us to do. He reconciled us to himself, and he made peace with us through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, you remember last week we talked about certain false teachers were coming into the church and saying, if you want to be holy, you got to dress this way, you got to act this way, you got to follow this diet, you have to be circumcised, you have to obey the law. They start throwing this trip on the church, on these new Christians. And I told you that it doesn't matter how you dress and what rules you keep or what you eat, that will not make you holy. Paul said these things look good. They look religious and they look pious, but he said they have no power in restraining the old person. So today, in this part of the text, he talks about our part in salvation. Now, when I say that sometimes, I've had people say, oh, well, then you're a work salvationist because we don't have any part in it. That's not what I'm saying. I said last week, you don't keep a big set of rules to be holy. I just read to you, we are holy because of what Jesus Christ did. Paul said we're blameless before God because of what Christ did. But he said, if you continue. That's a big little word if, and a lot of people don't like that. If you continue in the faith, rooted in Christ and build up in Christ. So today, in this part of the text, Paul's telling us our part, what we are to do. And if you notice, when you read the book of Colossians, Paul talks a lot about our thoughts. Paul described our lives before we came to Christ in this way: you were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. God warns us in the Word to guard our thoughts. He told the nation of Israel, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are on the road, and when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So God told the nation of Israel, keep his law in front of you, keep it in your mind, think about it, talk about it, wherever you're at. You can't do that unless you love the Lord. We're going to think about what we want. We're going to think about what we love. We're going to think about what concerns us. So Paul was telling Israel, or God was telling Israel, this is the way you need to think. Don't be a casual reader of my word. Think about it. Think about it. Talk about it. Teach it to your children. When Joshua took position as leader after the death of Moses, the Lord said to him, be strong and courageous. You are the one who will lead these people to possess the land that I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything within it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command: be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He warned Israel about the place they were going to inhabit. It was full of enemies. They were idol worshipers. And he warned them, when you get in there, don't make a treaty with these people. Don't allow them to stay. You destroy the altars. You destroy the idols. You destroy the people. Because he said, if you don't, they will lure you into the worship of their gods, and then I'll judge you. He told them, don't think that you can do what they're doing and I won't drive you out of here. He said, I will drive you out of this land just like I'm driving them out. Joshua was the leader, and God knew the opposition he was going to face. He was scared that they were facing a larger people, a greater number of people. And God said, Joshua, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. But he also said to him, you meditate on the word. Don't deviate from it. Boy, I wish we had leaders like that today. I've been told Christians don't belong in politics. That's a bunch of hoorah. We need godly men and women in our political offices. Not religious people. I'm talking about people that know Jesus Christ. People that will listen to the Holy Spirit and conduct themselves in such a way. Christians don't belong in politics, that's the world's opinion. They don't want us in politics. When I was on city council, a lady wrote a letter to the council, and it was read out loud and said, Rick Johnson has no right to be a councilman because he's a preacher. He's a Christian. He doesn't belong in politics because it influences his vote. Really? I said to the people, you're right, I am a Christian, and it does influence my vote. The city attorney said, Councilman Johnson, I advise you not to answer any further because I said I'm a Christian. I didn't listen. Yeah. I don't care what you advise, dude. That's the world's attitude. Christians don't belong in politics. Don't buy the lie. God was saying to Joshua, you need to think on my word. You need to meditate on my law and keep it, because you're the leader and people are going to follow your example. So there again, God stressed the importance to Joshua, you got to meditate on my word. He didn't say, Joshua, read it, lay it down, never pick it up again. He said, meditate on it. It has to become a part of you. So God does care about what we think about, and he does warn us about what we think about. Now, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Jesus Christ, this is rhetorical. Don't answer this out loud. Do you spend more time watching television or reading worldly novels than you do in the Word? Just think about that. Don't answer it out loud. Did you know Jesus said whatever you put into your heart in abundance is what's going to come out? There's a passage in Proverbs 27. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is the man. And I've heard these new age gurus pull that out of context, say, see, if you think positive thoughts, you'll be a positive person. If you think thoughts of faith, God will move on your part. They pull it completely out of context. When you read it, God's saying, don't eat dinner with a stingy man. Because he will say, eat and drink. But he said, he doesn't mean it. He's sitting there counting the cost. He said, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What we spend our time in, Christian, is what it's going to produce. What we love is what's going to come out of us. God does care about our thought life. He warns us to guard our thought life. You're probably wondering, well, where are you going with this? What does this have to do with the text? We'll get back around to it. Jesus said, from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. James said, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Now, I know you understand what James is saying, but very simply, he's saying sin starts here. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. When Satan approached Adam and Eve, the serpent approached him. He said, did God really say? He stimulated their thought. Did God really say? Jesus said sin proceeds from the heart or the mind. James says we're tempted when we're dragged away by our own desires. Sin starts here. It starts as a thought. And James said, well, if you allow that thought to turn into action, the end result is what? Death. Because the wages of sin is death. So we, as believers in Christ, we have to renew the way we think. Now, Paul said last week, he said, fix your thoughts on heavenly things. I'll get it out in a minute. Fix your thought on heavenly things. Some of the translations say, set your mind on heavenly things. You have a free will. I have a free will. I can think about whatever I want. And God directs us in his word, I want you to think on me. I want you to think on my word. What have I said? When I read this passage and passages like that where Paul says, put these things away. Sexual immorality, theft. Paul. Then he goes, but also put away anger. Wait a minute, Paul. How do you do that? How do you put away anger? Anger is a human emotion. Jesus got angry. I read that in one place he had healed a man, was going to heal a man on the Sabbath, and he knew the leaders didn't like it, so he asked him a question. He said, what's lawful on the Sabbath, to heal or to kill? And it said they wouldn't answer him, and it said Jesus was grieved at the hardness of their heart. He was angry. So the Lord got angry. But Paul said, put anger away. Put malicious behavior away. Put slander away. And I've heard this, well, we just have that old sinful nature, brother, and we can't get rid of that till Jesus comes. So you're saying to the Lord, that's impossible. I can't put it away. If that's the truth, then that's an unfair request on God's part. And God doesn't make unfair requests. If I say to God, I can't control my thoughts, then that's unfair for me, for God to tell me, control your thoughts. Now, Paul said, when you were in the world, you thought like this, and those thoughts produced evil behavior. You acted upon it. But remember, you have a new life in Christ. We're to have a new thought life. It doesn't mean we won't be tempted. When Paul said put away anger, it doesn't mean that you won't get anger. But I think what Paul's saying is stop your anger here before it comes out of here. I'm very guilty at times of my mouth being in drive and my brain being in neutral. And I think we all have a problem with that. I don't like to get angry and lash out at people. That's what the Bible's talking about. That's what Paul's talking about. That's what God's talking about. Think about it. My mother used to tell me, when you get angry, count to 10 before you speak. By the time I got to 10, I was twice as mad as I was when I started. And I'd go ahead and speak. It gave me 10 seconds to think about what I was going to say. Okay, that's not what she meant. When God talks about us controlling the old nature, it all starts here. How do I do that? What does the Word say? It's that simple. A lot of people reject God's Word. The Bible says it's foolishness to them. Paul said, you used to think this way in the world, but you're not in the world anymore. Not if you're in Christ. We were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom, and God's saying it's time you start acting like it. All you have to do is listen to somebody talk for a while to find out where their head's at and where their heart is. I've had professed Christians say, well, you know, they've pretty well proven that homosexuals are born that way and they can't help it. And God, since He's a God of love, He accepts them just as they are. Really? We must be reading a different book. God said, that's an abomination to me. That means I hate it. God said, that's against nature. I didn't make you that way. Well, we can't help but lie. You know, everybody lies. God said, you shall not lie. What does that take? Forethought on my part if I'm getting ready to speak a lie? There's a couple times in my life I was mad enough to kill. And that passage would come into my head, you shall do no murder. Okay. There's a couple people that ought to be glad that I listened to the Word, or I'd be in prison and they wouldn't be here. See what I'm saying? I wanted to kill. God said, no, you don't murder. Now, I have a free will. I could have said, you shut up. This person deserves to die, and I'm going to kill him. You can put this with anything, Christian. I'll never forgive that person. What God say? Forgive them. I forgave you. Well, I might forgive them, but I'll never forget Does God treat you like that? You ever had the Lord tell you, well, I've forgiven you for this sin, but boy, I'm never going to forget it. I'm going to hold this against you the rest of your life. He doesn't do that. Forgiveness means you give up resentment and bitterness. Well, how do I know if I haven't forgiven somebody? Because every time their name is mentioned, you go angry. You have resentful thoughts. You may not speak them, but they're in here. What does God say? You forgive because I forgave you. He also said, if you refuse to forgive, I won't forgive you. Yeah. Well, that's tough. So how do I need to adjust my mind? I need to believe what God says and says, you know, the Lord said if I don't forgive, he won't forgive. There's no gray area. There's no halfway. God said if you refuse to forgive, I won't forgive you. That's renewing your mind. Paul said to the church at Rome, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice and holy, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Why does God put so much stress on the way we think? You know the answer to that. Because what we think can turn into action. We talk about in salvation the grace of God and putting on the new nature, being born again. But you see, we still have the old us that we live in. And God says, I know how you tend to think. You're going to have to learn how to rethink things. And not only think, but act. Well, what do I do when I don't do it? You ask him to forgive you. I am so glad that God doesn't keep score. I am so glad that I can go to God when I fall and he doesn't say, that's just one too many times, Rick. I don't want to hear it. My Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. This world is full of distractions, and I know you know that. This world's always pulling at us. And Paul said the old us is always pulling at us. He said there's a struggle between our old selves and the Holy Spirit. You have a free will, so do I. We decide who wins. We decide who we're going to listen to. And you're going to ultimately do what you love. Paul said, don't be greedy. That's idolatry. If you tend towards greed, you need to work on that. How do you do that? By lining up with the Word of God. God said, that's idolatry. Then you need to say, Father, forgive me because I've been worshiping idols. I've been worshiping money. I've been worshiping possessions. See, you line up with him. Now, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But sometimes we'll complain and whine and say, well, God, we just can't control this. And God says, it starts here. Is the Word of God true? I believe it is. Does God say what he means and means what he says? Yes. So if it is the truth, I need to receive it as the truth, the absolute truth, and act upon it. I need to line up with what he says in his word. I told you before, I have talked to young Christian couples, professed Christians coming that, you know, we want to get married. And in the course of the conversation, they say, well, we're living together. This is my fiance. Been a fiance for 5 years. And I said, and you're Christians. Yeah. Do you know you're living in immorality? Well, God's a God of love, and we love each other, so it's okay. Where's that written in the book? God said, don't do it. That's a sin. We treat the Ten Commandments like the Ten Suggestions. You know, we have to line up with the Word, church. We're commanded to be salt and light. The Word is salt and light. We're to teach the Word. We're to preach the Word. We're to live the Word. The Word and nothing but the Word. Now, does God leave us to do this on our own? No. Paul said to the church at Galatia, if you'll walk by the Holy Spirit, you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. What does that mean? You walk with Him and you obey Him. The Holy Spirit's not going to get you in a headlock and make you do things His way, but He will reveal the truth to you. And you choose to do it. You say, this is the right way. God's a good God. He's a holy God. And that doesn't change. I've had people tell me, well, cultures change, you know. Things that we didn't used to accept, we now accept. So you need to change. No. If the Word of God condemns or condones something, I don't have to change because He doesn't. He hasn't changed His mind. Well, we're under grace now. Joe read that passage this morning. That's what Paul was dealing with. Well, see, we're under grace, Paul, so it doesn't matter how we live. Paul said, no, it does matter how you live. I like it in the book of Corinthians. He's talking to these Gentiles. They were getting back into sin, and Paul said, let me give you a little lesson from our history. Our fathers tempted the Lord in the desert, and he said, it didn't go well. It was a bummer. He said, you don't want to do that. God doesn't change. The truth doesn't change. The truth is absolute. And I believe His Word to be absolute truth. That's why I like to read it. It's not confusing to me. When God says you shall not, then that means you shall not. When God says you should, that means you should. There's no gray area there. I'm going to close with a passage from Philippians. Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one thing, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. But keep putting into practice all you learned and receive from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. That is a piece of advice that we can all heed today. Paul says, set your mind on pure, lovely, honorable, admirable things. You choose what you think about. I choose what I think about. Sometimes there's thoughts come into my mind I don't like. I think, where did that come from? I think it was Luther that said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure stop him from building a nest. That's the way it is with sinful thoughts. You may not be able to keep them from coming in, but you don't let them nest there. You don't let them build a home there. You don't let them occupy you. So when somebody tells you, well, it's just hard to control the old nature, you need to remember God says it starts in your mind. And I know you know this. Line up with what God says. Let your thinking become His way of thinking. And you know the Bible says if you are a believer and the Holy Spirit's in you, Paul said you have the mind of Christ. He knows the deep things of Christ. Jesus said He will take things that belong to me and He'll show them to you. Well, how do we know if something's wrong? The Spirit of God, if He's in you, He'll tell you. And it's not the same for everybody. He deals with us individually, one-on-one. I thank God for His mercy. I see that as mercy and grace. Paul said if he does have to chastise one of his children, it's because he doesn't want to judge you with the world. He He's trying to line you out. So don't let somebody tell you, well, there's nothing you can do about the old you, the old nature. You're stuck with it. And it doesn't matter what you do. You're going to go to heaven because you've been saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's a doctrine of man. God said, you think on my word. You meditate on my word. Talk about my word at home. Talk about my word before you go to bed. Talk about it when you get up in the morning. Teach it to your children. It's the truth. Remember, we're talking about living the new life. Paul said, that was your old life. Joe read the passage this morning. You should be done with that. You're dead to that. But the Bible never says, put this on without talking about taking this off. Because there's two sides. Would you stand with me this morning? Paul didn't say it's easy. Jesus didn't say following him was easy. It's a sacrifice. John Wesley said, true sanctification or holiness is when I take my will and give it to God. And say, here, you have my will. True holiness is a surrender, total surrender to Jesus Christ. And allowing him to be your life. And to control everything in your life. That's holiness.